if I can change my mindset around those different ideas, then naturally I'm going to change the result of the money in my life, because money is itself is a thought. Everything around us is a thought. So if we choose to think differently and understand that money is a mindset, then we won't necessarily think of ourselves having to chase money, because the more we chase it, the more it's going to run away from us.
Becoming a household name is my longest and dearest dream. And though I haven't always known exactly how I wanted to make my mark on the world, I have always had grand dreams, from being an astronaut to running for president of the United States of America. So when I found my passion to write the next great American novel, I began chasing that dream with my inborn zeal. Over the years, people have told me I'll burn out working too much, give up when I realize it's a game for the lucky, or quit when I see the thousandth rejection. But somehow, I'm still going. And it dawned on me, whether you're a current or future reader of mine, or whether you're something entirely else, I owe it to you and to me to document this journey. I'm not a guru or an expert, but a simple enthusiast. If you have a passion for becoming a household name, or you've just always wanted to know what makes us dreamers tick, this podcast is for you. Thanks for listening.
It's good to see, like you said, the growth. The growth has definitely been, I would say, as a result of our viewers. Our viewers have been very vocal in telling us when it was time to upgrade our microphones or our cameras. Yeah. And we are just happy learners. So we said, okay, let's go look into these rabbit holes and figure out what are the best solutions for us to continue to grow and improve our channel.
Right. And I think what's unique about our channel is you were able to see our growth in real time. But literally when we were recording our videos sitting on our couch, we were using our cell phone. And yeah, at that point, if we're going to talk about finances, we want to show up as we are. And at that time, we didn't have the funds to put into our studio. So yeah, as our financial situation changed, so did our background.
So did the technology.
Yeah. So did the technology. We really made it our point to only put into our YouTube channel what we got from YouTube.
Wow. That's on par with every message that we're going to talk about today, because you immediately kind of put in the nugget about finances. You're not going to go into a whole bunch of debt to build your YouTube channel. You're not going to sink $1 million into a brand without knowing that it's going to succeed and be able to move you forward. One of the things that I do love about what you do, though, is that you're very forward thinking. You're very future thinking in the way that you think about the movement of money. Before we move on to that, talk about maybe how that's influenced how you're building your channel with kind of a future leaning perspective.
Well, thank you for that. It always goes back to Darius and I challenge the question of, does it make sense? And if it makes sense, why? And I would say with regards to our YouTube channel and also with regards to our business, we always connect it back to our personal lives of like, what do we want to do next year? Can we see ourselves doing this 5 years from now? And yeah, you've also seen like through the growth of our channel, we've also built a family. And we wanted to make sure that exactly how we grew our channel was going to be sustainable for us to show up as parents and be very present. And that has just always been the process of thinking about, are we still going to enjoy life 3-5 years from now based off of what we're doing today? And we have to thank corporate America for that, because if it wasn't for the experiences that we had in not owning our own lifestyle, like we say, we just don't want to have those lessons learned again. We've learned from them. Let's continue to grow and move forward. So I would say our family life has driven our business and our YouTube channel.
Right. And for me, what I would say is just like life finances, it really doesn't change. It's just the players that change. If we think about the game of basketball, the game itself doesn't change very much, but the players do. So when we think about the cycles that we go in, as a son to a dad to a husband, those cycles are exactly the same. Even when we think about generation to generation, the playing field stays the same. It's just the players that change. So what we try to do is keep our message on the foundational level of what we can expect for everyone to experience as they go through their 20s or as they go through their 30s. Right now, what we're thinking about is what we want to do for our 40s, because everybody that's in their 40s kind of have the same foundational idea of life and finances. Mm-hmm.
And then additionally, we're able to look to the matriarchs and patriarchs of our family and have the conversation of what does it look like when you're in your 50s and planning for retirement and maybe not be prepared? What does it look like when we're in our 60s, our wealth, our starting retirement, and in our 70s, living off of a fixed income? Like, what does that look like? So we've really been able to segment the experiences that we've had with our family and bring that to our audience.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm thinking about, and I don't know that I have my question fully formed yet, so I may ramble for a second if I have to, but I'm thinking about my policy. So I have a whole life policy. I was really fortunate at the time to know somebody from the insurance industry that I was working with who connected me with his brother. And I think that I have a really amazing, well-built policy. But it's enabled me to make some decisions in my life that I would not have been able to make without it. And so people listening to the show know that I built the ability to do what I'm doing off the back of real estate. I had some rental properties. I still have a couple of rental properties left. But at the core of it was this vessel that I was able to hold my money in. And I was able to loan it to myself when I needed to and buy something and then use the process of paying that back to pay myself back. If I didn't have that today, I would be out of money, because the way that money moves, I'm able to make some really bold choices that people weren't. And again, I'm sort of teasing at this. I want you guys to talk in more depth in a moment here, but I still think there's something about the way that we think about moving money that we also think about our show. My guess is, I like what you said earlier on, Carmen, about am I going to do this in 3 to 5 years? You're really thinking about the future, but what you're also doing when you're doing that is thinking about what you want it to look like, so that you're almost creating your present reality based on what you know you want in your future. I don't think a lot of people think that way. And I bet you'll say it a lot better than I am if I ask that question to you, like, how have you built your present based on your future?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for that. And you know what? I do have to say, I also credit YouTube for a lot of that forward thinking, because you create content, right? And you understand the thought process and the time commitment that goes into it. And I felt like throughout our journey, Darius and I definitely stopped for a moment and asked ourselves, like, do we want to keep creating videos? You know, does this make sense? Do we want to keep doing this? Because we did experience what people consider burnout of just like, I will never turn my camera on again, at least in the next like 3 to 6 months, because I've had it, right? And that just, again, went back to reevaluating our values and what we know to be true. And so what we recognize is burnout happened because we weren't being true to ourselves. We were chasing the algorithm as opposed to chasing what the topics that we actually wanted to talk about and what we know completely resonated within. And so there's this balance that we've been working through of like, do we feed YouTube's algorithm or do we feed Darius and Carmen's spirit? And our spirit continues to win out every time as we've transitioned from that, right? Because this has been a process for us, and we recognize that the only way for us to move forward with this process is for us to continue to be true to ourselves in this whole thing, which relates back to exactly what you're talking about, which is this financial journey of looking at the shiny object syndromes. Right? Because in the financial space, you can do anything and be a millionaire tomorrow. And going back to being true to ourselves, we had to keep asking that question. Do we even really want to get into being full-time real estate investors? We've asked ourselves that multiple times. And depending on the year, we've said yes or no. And we've scaled it back to recognizing like, no, we just want to play in the real estate space as much as we want to play personally without putting pressures on ourselves, because we did run into that. I have 10 deals. You have 15 deals. I have 20 deals. Like, you know, we went through that and we're like, no, we're not measuring anymore. Right. Yeah. And then, you know, crypto and the stocks and everything goes into it. And we just keep asking ourselves like, no, that's not what our journey, that's not what the bridge journey looks like. And so with going back to understanding this valuable asset, such as whole life insurance, it made sense to us. Going back to what I said before, it clicked, it made sense. And we were like, yes, we can latch on to this long term.
Yeah. You have to remind me real quickly, are you also more or less like, did you get your start through the Nelson Nash kind of way of thinking about things? I've listened to enough voices out there that's one specific I don't remember, but are you sort of thinking along the same lines as Nelson did?
Yes, we are. We actually had a mentor when we actually started doing real estate, we started financing real estate deals, and he provided us with a loan from his life insurance policy. And he was a big believer of the infinite banking concept. So as he lent us the money, we started asking more questions. What he introduced us to was the infinite banking concept.
Perfect. Okay. There's a couple of others that I enjoy listening to out there. And one guy who is not out there, it's not exactly infinite banking, but velocity banking.
Denzel Rodriguez.
Yeah, Denzel's awesome. Yes, yeah, he's been on your show a couple of times, and I think vice versa. I really like Denzel a lot. And then before him, there was actually a guy out there who made a video with a whiteboard, like super old fashioned. He was a big guy, and he was just describing in such finite detail, this is why you do what you do and how moving money frees up money and how you win at the interest game and like everything else. And I remember watching that video right about the same time I found you and realizing I know so little about money and why it like does what it does and why the speed of money matters and why the availability of money and the holding vessel for money, like all of these different things. Like, no wonder I have no money. I have no understanding of money. I mean, that journey has been amazing. So it seems like a good moment to transition over. The one caveat I want to say for people who are listening to this show is think about everything we've set up to now, which is that you're able to do what you love when you have the freedom to do what you love. And as much as this may not sound great to everybody listening at this exact moment in your life, please understand money is the spot that will take your freedom away the fastest, the longest, the worst. And so getting the money game right is really important, and you don't have to trade crypto to do it. So I'll hand it over to you guys. Talk to me about the framework of infinite banking and even your journey as it's progressed, how you think about money now.
Nice. Well, thank you.
So I'll start, because one thing that came to mind is just the foundational, what is money? Money is a means of
exchange.
A means of exchange. And every time money is exchanged, there's a cost to it. We may not think there's a cost to it, but every time money is exchanged, there's a cost to it. And in that transition is where the opportunity lies for the person that's paying the money or the person that is receiving the money. And that understanding is really going to help us understand this infinite banking concept. You know what I mean? So when it comes to infinite banking and just currency, we are all in this game, so to speak. The thing is, whenever wherever money comes from, it ends up going back to. So the people with money, if they lend it out, it ends up coming back to them, just like the bank. Yeah. When they transact money with us through loans, through financing, the money ends back up, ends with them with interest. So we can take that same mindset and instead of borrowing money from the bank, we borrow money from our life insurance companies. Now, the difference there is the fact that when we have money with the life insurance company, we have something called a death benefit. Now, with that death benefit, what we have to do is consciously or subconsciously, we're teaching our family and the people around us how to use the bank's money. We have to be intentional now moving forward to teach our family and friends and the people around us how to use money from a different character, which is the insurance company.
Mm-hmm. And the foundation that really resonated with us was prioritizing our savings, because we knew that once we actually, exactly to your point, Jody, once we started to understand money and things started to make sense, we were like, oh, we just need to save more money. It was as simple as that. And then once we were able to see the money being saved in our bank account, we got used to liking it being in our bank account.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there was this epiphany of like, is there another place where we can put our savings or leverage our savings in another way, as opposed to it just being seated there? Because we knew that inflation was against us, and that if we just look at our money sitting in the bank account, we knew that we were losing already. So yeah, with that,
because of inflation.
Yes, because of inflation. So with that, that posed the question of, does this make sense? So then we started barking up other trees, and that's how whole life insurance was presented to us, where we recognized that our savings, inside our savings account is just that. It's savings. It's sitting there. It's not money that we need today to make expenses. It's money that we are utilizing for our own insurance, let's call it, right? The refrigerator goes out, we can spend some money. Something happens to the car, we can spend some money. So we looked at our savings as our own insurance policy, so to speak, if that's easy to comprehend. And then once we recognize, like, oh, wait, we can actually take our savings, leverage it, and start paying premiums using our savings so that we can have a life insurance policy, that just kind of blew our minds, because we recognized that we could have two things for the price of one. One was still being able to have liquidity, meaning the cash that grows inside of a whole life insurance policy, one that's designed for early cash, to be clear. And then at the same time, we could have a death benefit. So no longer were we concerned about not having life insurance, of doing that thing called adulting, right? We wanted to make sure that we could still check that box, know that we have life insurance, so that if one of us passes, we still had some financial stability coming in. And at the same time, we had liquidity. So if the refrigerator went out, if something happened to our car, we could take a loan from the life insurance company, leveraging the cash that we have on our own policies, and use it towards financing our lifestyle, what we call.
Right. And to the point that you made earlier is we have to complete the cycle and actually follow through. When we borrow money from the insurance company, we have to treat it exactly the same way as if we borrowed it from the bank, because in completing that cycle is where we're able to redirect those interest payments to purchase more premium so that we have more cash available. Because here's the reason why things work the way it works at the bank is because when we borrow money from the bank, let's say for a credit card, our collateral is our future earning potential, which really doesn't mean anything. That's why the banks charge so much interest. When they give us a loan for a house, our collateral is our home, which the bank wants to contract. And over time, we end up paying significantly more because that money is kept outstanding for so long. When it comes to the insurance company, what they're leveraging is the cash that we have inside of our life insurance policy. They're leveraging money that they actually have on hand. So we're able to get a lower interest rate in comparison to the borrowing money for the exact same reason from a bank. So we just have to make sure that we treat the money exactly the same, so that difference, which is where we really make money in the interest, make sure that difference is used correctly.
Yeah. There's a couple of things that we've talked about that I think people hearing this for the first time might not realize. And to me, they were really big in the beginning, and they continue to be comfort. And so one of them is when you put that dollar into the bank account, I think it was you, Carmen, that said, then you're fighting inflation. When you put the dollar into the insurance policy is actually investing your money. So they're taking your money and they're investing it, but in such a way that they can guarantee you certain things. Absolutely. And that changes their mind, how they're going to put your money to work for them so they can make money. But it also gives you a fairly good hedge against a couple of things that I think are nice to know. They're peace of mind. One is a dollar in the insurance company is a guaranteed growth at a certain point. It's going to become an efficient policy. And then my dollar will actually be maybe $1.20 next year, whatever the exact amount is that your policy is working for. But they also have dividends on top of that. And most companies pay dividends every single year, like clockwork. They don't guarantee the dividends, but that's based on the success of, or failure of the economy. I'm not going to steal your thunder, but talk about dividends in the good times and the bad, because I think it's kind of cool to know that during the Great Depression, there were some people who actually still were getting dividends.
Yeah.
We actually just came back from a conference with one of our carriers. And the interesting thing is we've worked with probably 5 or 6 carriers over the course of our career. And each one of the carriers has paid dividends for over 100 years, you know, and they have such bragging rights, you know, where they're like, oh, it's been 110 or 109 for me.
130.
Yeah. And it's just phenomenal to know that life insurance is one of the oldest financial tools out there. And so when you look at that and you look at the measure of history of success over a century, you recognize the stability that whole life provides to you. And so with that being said, throughout any of the financial life cycles that we've been in, downturns, you know, whatever it is, each of the insurance companies have been able to pay a dividend. And exactly to your point, what you were mentioning is how the insurance company invests our money. They have to invest our money in smart, secure ways, because the insurance companies are governed by the states and they are obligated to pay out death benefits, right? So we're not thinking about fractional reserve banking, which we could probably save for another conversation. the banks are run by the life insurance companies have to protect every dollar that they put inside of their insurance company. And with that, that gives us the stability that we need to ensure that one, our death benefits are going to be paid and that they're making these investments in a sound way so that they can pay the death benefits when it makes sense to. Because what I feel like a lot of people don't understand with life insurance companies is when they give you a life insurance product, they're saying that we have the capital on hand to pay out this death benefit. That's really what they're saying to you. You know, we can think about it in many other ways, but the idea is if I have a life insurance policy, they say they can guarantee this amount of death benefit. And yeah, that's a huge perk for us because at the end of the day, there are not many financial tools or products out there that provide any guarantees. And yeah, for us knowing where we wanted to prioritize our income, Darius and Carmen wanted to prioritize our income in a tool that actually provides guarantees they can't guarantee the dividend, but knowing that they've been paying it for over 100 years, you know, definitely says something.
Especially the foundation in which we build our family legacy on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like it too, because the last couple of years, we've seen something financially from the big government that's kind of eye-popping for a lot of people. And that's through the pandemic, we were getting just relief checks. Oh, you've had a hard time. We'll cut you a check. We'll send it to you. And on one hand, you're like, awesome, I'm going to go buy a new grill or whatever it is that like I'm excited to spend a couple thousand dollars on. But then there's the back of your mind is realizing you can't print money without consequences.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you have your money in a life insurance policy and a life insurance policy is based on safe investments, it moves with inflation. It moves with the creation of more dollars. And so you see these dividends and they're bigger dividends, but they're guaranteed dividends. And mm-hmm, I'm not going to speak for every insurance provider out there that it's been exactly the same, but I just started to watch that and think, okay, dollar for dollar, if I just put it in an insurance policy and I never do anything else, I don't invest it, I don't keep it moving, I don't keep it flowing, even if that's all I did, death benefit that we talked about, if I die today, my wife gets $1.8 million and I don't even have a very big policy. And I know that that's going to cover her long enough to figure out what do I do next. Mm-hmm. That's really nice to know. But mm-hmm, also, if I have something go majorly wrong with my house that's not covered under homeowners insurance, I can pull from my benefit or my policy right now to fix it. So it's like multiple layers of protection, and that slows everything down. So Darius and Carmen aren't responsible today to figure out, like, what if YouTube crashed? Like, you are not in trouble tomorrow if YouTube crashed. But I mm-hmm, guarantee you there are a lot of people who look like you, who operate like you, and I'm using quotes there to say, like, on the outside it seems similar, but the way that you've created your life, you've slowed down your ability to make choices that make sense now but also make sense in the future. It's so hard to overstate the power of that.
Oh yeah,
thank
oh,
you. Yeah, you put that so eloquently. I wish that we could say that we calculated it in that way, but how you broke it down, I'm like, yes, we're gonna use that.
You know, the biggest thing for us has been mentorship. There's people that have been in our lives that didn't even know they were mentoring us, because mm-hmm, we looked at the life that they live in as an example of, if we follow this formula, this is where we would be. But if we make few small tweaks here, this is where we'll be. So that I think to the earlier question, the forward thinking came from looking at the people around us as examples of what we've attracted into our lives. And is this something that we want to continue? Is this a formula that we want to continue, or do we want to make small tweaks?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it very much came back to, and I'm going to relate this, how this all comes back to money. But again, like as Darius was just saying, is we're observing our surroundings. So those of us who the individuals who were our mentors, especially early on, we were looking at their lifestyles and we recognized that they were business owners, right? So we're speaking to business owners on this platform, right? And we're looking at how they all run their businesses. And we noticed one business owner was hopping on planes 3 and 4 times a week and still had a family at home, you know, just to run his business. And we were like, that's cool. but no. Yeah. And then we looked at, you know, just every other opportunity. Someone had a brick and mortar, and brick and mortar is cool, but we recognize that we love to travel. So we didn't want to pin ourselves down to one specific location. And we looked at business owners who were strapped for cash. We looked at business owners who didn't care what was happening in the economy.
Business owners that work with their spouses.
Exactly. We looked at all of that. And the biggest guidance that I could say is, in looking at that, we were also able to see the business owners who were the most calm and relaxed when anything happened in the economy. And we looked at those individuals to be like, okay, what do they have going on? Because if you have, you know, a lot of your life savings tied up in the market, you're going to be stressed when things are going up and down, round and round in the market. However, if you also have some protection in place, what we consider insurance, those things may not affect you as much. And so how this all comes back to the financial environment or the tools that we're using was, again, just recognizing, okay, if all we have to do is save more money and leverage that money in a better way to finance the things that we need in life, meaning like kick the bank out, so to speak, and say, hey, I'm going to borrow from my life insurance company as opposed to the bank. And I'm going to create the system where I pay back the insurance company. And every time I pay back the insurance company, plus interest, because I'm adding more premium essentially with the spread that I'm making, that's going to allow my policy to grow so that I can, as a business owner, borrow more money when I need it from this closed system that I've created so that I can further my options, so that I can buy more technology, so that I can, you know, do whatever it is that I need to grow, have more marketing, whatever those options are. And I'm still working in this closed system. So that's been the best opportunity for us to understand how we move forward as business owners now and in the future.
Yeah. So I want to stop there and talk a little bit about that, because that plays into a big portion of the audience that's listening right now is, when I have these questions that are a little bigger, I'm sorry if I ramble, but
no, come on.
I really got into the lady who wrote The Secret. I really liked that aspect, especially because she talked about a particular biblical principle that kind of attracted me, the law of attraction, and it attracted me. Ha ha. Okay. So anyway, she talks about in the Bible, Jesus says at one point, or the Bible says, if you ask for anything in my name, you will have it if you believe. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but the idea is put yourself in a mindset of believing that what you ask for, you will receive. And I like the gratitude that's involved in that. And I went on a fairly long and what I would consider productive journey of looking into manifestation as an actual way of living my life. And the place where I then kind of felt a little bit like Wile E. Coyote, where I was running out over a cliff and then suddenly I looked down and I'm like a mile off the ground, you know? And it was when I thought everybody in the manifestation business has built their business as a manifestation business. There's nobody talking about this. There are a couple of exceptions I know of now, but there was a long period of time where I was like, okay, the only people who are really successful in the manifestation community are people who have businesses teaching people how to manifest. Does that make sense? Like where I'm going with this?
Yes.
So when we talk about financial services, sometimes I look at that and I think about the community of influencers. I think about myself right now and the fact that I make money off of selling certain writing services. There are things that we're doing that kind of like spread their roots into the world that we are living in. So I wanted to hear from you, looking under the hood a little bit, were your dreams and hopes to teach financial independence, security, infinite banking, or did you notice you were changing lives profoundly and you were really good at it, and so you stayed? I like I said, it's a big question and I apologize for that. Answer however you want or ask for clarity if you need it, but that's where I was going with it. So
no, I wish, and I love how you led into it. So it was perfect. No rambling at all. I wish I could say for me that it was the latter, number two, where we just knew that we were making such a difference and we continued. I still see myself as that crazy kid sitting on our couch using our cell phone, trying to preach and teach individuals on how to properly use whole life insurance. So I still very much feel like I'm on my soapbox and I am nowhere near the amount of impact that I want to convey and to have. And not to say that we're not grateful for the impact that we've created now. Yeah. I just feel like we're just getting started. And I'm thrilled and excited to see what we can do as far as becoming a household name, right? And continuing to grow our brand. But yeah, it's been such a labor of love and manifestation to what you were saying in looking at that one business owner that was always hopping on planes everywhere to meet with their clients. I can very much say that we manifested that. We were like, how do we create a business where we can market in such a way where we can still be together, maintain the household, maintain our family, and we can travel and do everything that we want to do. And then like, we literally got a phone call a week later and it was one of our best friends saying, hey, you guys should start a YouTube channel. And wow. That, you know, that just, it came how it came. So we very much believe in manifestation and the belief in the things that you ask for.
Right. And everything that we create and have created has been a result of where we were at the time. And I would say in the past couple of years, we've been on a spiritual journey, especially after the passing of our daughter,
our second daughter,
as to, okay, we talk about finances, but there's a deeper meaning in the message that we try to have. Finance is the thing that everybody wants to see, but underlying that is the manifestation, love,
family
that we make sure that we have underlying everything that we say, because it's a reflection of us. So when we think about the things that we've manifested into our life, or we believe that should be a part of our lives, we talk about it through the information that we share. We feel that every time we speak, we are speaking not on behalf of us, but allowing God to speak through us.
Yeah. Just this morning, actually, I have been the last couple of months struggling with a handful of life circumstances. It's funny, as you keep talking about the guy on the plane, I'm like, I'm not getting on planes, but I am the guy on the plane right now, where the majority of income that I am producing is actually from attending in-person events. I go sell my books at different Comic-Cons. I'll be in Denver this week later. And like, it's hard being away from the family. And my wife and I know, and I think the kids know as well as they can for being younger, that this is a season in life and you do what you can to try to build the foundation, but it's challenging. And then there have been other difficulties and pivots along the way. And so I wrote myself a manifestation, and I'll write them out and I'll think about what I want to say. And I've been struggling a little bit with the idea that I have to feel good in order to produce the desired outcome, because a lot of times I don't feel particularly good. Mm-hmm. And I listened to one line that I'd written in there, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but I heard myself saying to me, and I'd written it, that it doesn't matter what I've done if the one that I'm asking is able to do what it is that needs to be done. So it's interesting, because this actually builds into the insurance as well. If you know that you have a guarantee in something, then it doesn't matter how you feel. You just move toward the thing that you know you're supposed to be doing, and the guarantee is pure. Mm. That's manifestation too. And it's easier for me to believe in that right now, because I feel like a piece of dung sometimes. it's not to say like sit and wallow, but it's hard. And I don't know, does that resonate for you? It sounds a little bit like you might have had some times there in the past, or even currently, where you don't feel like the winner that you believe you're supposed to be, that you're called to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one thing that Carmen and I discuss is that pain isn't always what we think it is. Pain, it gives us an opportunity to learn and remember where this pain came from or when it happened, so that we can make different decisions in the future. It's a part of the experience that helps guide us to where we need to be. So we've had pain and we've thought of that pain as a problem. Mm-hmm. But now we look at pain as an opportunity for us to realize that, yes, we are on a journey and we're moving forward. And this pain is a reminder that something else is happening in our favor. For example, if you think of bowling and you have those bumpers up when you're bowling, when that ball hits that bumper, it moves it towards the center. It changes its path. And I look at pain as that bumper of changing my path down a way that I shouldn't be going. So it's a huge opportunity for me. So yes, things come up in our life where it hurts, but it didn't kill us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. And even what we were talking about before, for example, like specific example, we've had burnout with creating videos. And we know that creating videos is how we have to show up in our business in order to generate revenue. And how do you have that conflict when that's like the one thing that you have to do, exactly like attending event, right? So we had to keep going back to, why do we feel this pain? And learn from this opportunity to say, okay, maybe this is an opportunity to pivot. And it's really been what I have to say too, is increasing our mindset, leveling up our vibrations, and just really when we talk about the idea that wealth is a mindset, of just really transforming our mindset so that we can take opportunities in different ways. But not to say that it never hurts. You know, we're still very much in that stage where we're learning from it. And even like you were saying with traveling and the family, right? So we still do travel. We actually do a lot of traveling. Yeah. And we recognize that with our oldest daughter, every time we leave, you know, she's with grandma, we think she's having a ton of fun. Every time we leave, we come back, she's sick. And we kept noticing this pattern of like, why is it every time that we leave, we come back and she's sick? And we just recognized again that this was her way of communicating to us, like, I'm not okay with you all leaving, you know, and especially knowing that we do have some trauma with her sister passing as well, of, you know, just wondering, where's everybody at? What's happening? And we've had to come to terms with recognizing, okay, what is our future look like in traveling, and making sure that she feels secure, she feels comforted to know that, you know, mom and dad are going to come back and we're here to support her. So as we look at our business and how we continue to move forward and create this legacy for ourselves, now we're trying to figure out, how does it make sense to incorporate her in the business so she feels like she has some sort of ownership in what we do, and that we're not isolating her on the side, so that, you know, we can continue to grow this legacy as a family. So again, opportunities, things that we're learning, and how that bumper, our ball ricochets off that bumper is very much in our control and in our power. But it does come back to sitting for a minute and observing, and not just continuing to hit that wall.
Yeah, Jody, one thing I would say as it relates to finances, when we think about financial freedom, we think that money is going to solve all of our problems. But as you improve your financial situation, your problems just have additional zeros at the end. So what happens is that as you change your mindset, or as you elevate, your threshold for pain also increases. So one thing that might have disturbed you 5 years ago, you won't even think about today. And what you'll be able to handle 5 years from today is going to be different from what you can handle right now. So it's just one of those things that as we continue to improve, as we continue to level up the experience that we're having here, pain is one of those things that isn't going to go away. It's just going to equal to the level that we are.
I wonder, I've lived a lot of my life with the fear of the other shoe dropping. And I got asked, I should define that. So somebody asked me on social media the other day, what do you mean when you say the other shoe? This is kind of a new thought for me, but sometimes a bad thing happens in your life or a really good thing happens in your life. And either way, there's an anticipation of a following event, and that's that other shoe. And so I live a lot of my life fearing the other shoe dropping. What I'm hearing you say is that there comes a moment where you have to choose to live as if the other shoe's not going to drop, or to trust that it's not going to drop. And that is probably a bigger problem than, you know, allowing pain to affect you. Is there's an actual posture in your life when you're afraid of the consequence versus just being bold. Is that true? Does that sum up what you're saying to some degree, or did I miss any element of it?
There we go.
I didn't even know we were saying that, but that's exactly what we said. Yes. You have to choose your sovereignty. You know, like you either choose it or you don't. And so if you wallow in this middle ground, exactly what we were talking about, you're still manifesting the other shoe to drop. You don't know that you are, but you're subconsciously manifesting, it's going to, a rainy day is coming. And then when the rainy day comes, you go, oh, there goes the other shoe, when the whole time you've been asking for it. Right. Yeah. So you said exactly the key word is you have to choose. It's a decision that you make. You either walk forward and go, no, that other shoe is never going to hit me. Or if
there isn't even another shoe.
Yeah. I have one foot. Right. And the shoe's on.
Yeah. I'll have to, I think I will come back around and just privately share with you the couple of lines in the manifestation I'm working on right now, because you actually just said it verbatim, Darius. There is no other shoe. There's a line in there. There's no other shoe, and there's no other shoe for the rest of my life. Like, it's not there to drop. So just stop worrying about it. I have to say these things to myself quite a bit. I struggle with them quite a bit, but I also believe in them. I've seen power in my life come when I make weird choices, like the really simple things of smiling. When I don't feel happy, just choosing to smile for a moment and allow my brain to find a positive thought, like it changes everything. But you also get to a point, if you do that a lot in your life, people look at you a little bit strange. They're like, that guy, he smiles too much, you know, yeah. And he's suspect. Talk to me a little bit about that as it reflects on what has happened to you in your life, because you've built a really cool business on YouTube. You've taught so many people, including me, how to do infinite banking. And it's come with those financial successes and lifestyle successes that I know you've wanted. Are there people right now who still continue to try to push you down and remind you that you're just small? And are there ways that you deal with that?
Yeah, there are people that do that, and that's the person that's in the mirror.
Yeah.
No, even when we get comments on YouTube, nobody is saying that they dislike us. They dislike the message because of the experience that they've had in their lives. So nobody is really pushing us down other than the person in the mirror.
and I was going to say, I disagree. There are some tough comments out there where people dislike us as people. However, yeah. what we learn through our spiritual understanding is they're not saying anything that we haven't already said ourselves subconsciously. And so exactly like that person in the mirror, when somebody says something and it triggers us and we're thinking, how could they have said that? It's because we know deep down inside we've had that same thought. And so now we're upset at the individual, right? When really it's like, no, we need to sit with that thought and figure out where did that come from and why do we feel ourselves as lesser or undeserving? And this, you know, I can't say we've always thought this way, that this has definitely been a moment of growth for us to look at the comments either on YouTube or if somebody says it to our face or you know, however it comes about, as an opportunity to reevaluate our approach, as an opportunity for us to reevaluate who we are as people, because it's been a really, I'd say for me, big girl moment to face myself in the mirror and look at all the ugly truths that I say about myself, and kind of even going back to that other shoe, I wonder if sometimes that other shoe that I allow to hang over my head, right? Because it's a different relationship, you allow it or not, is just trauma from the past being like guilt that I'm holding on to, or disappointment or fear, or you know, what other baggage that I choose to take along with my journey. I've recognized that as that other shoe, and I either have to deal with it or that shoe keeps dragging along with me, right? And at some point we have to cut that shoelace and just let it free.
Yeah, life is a reflection of our inward thoughts, and the people that we choose to play in the film that we wrote and star in, we put them there. Everybody that comes in contact with us, we put them in that position to play a role in our lives so that we can see it from the inside out or outside in.
Yeah. I have a person in my life, and it's just recently that I've been thinking about changing my relationship to the person, because I remind that person of my dad. And my dad has done some hideous things, no excuse for the things that he's done. And I do resemble him in appearance, as well as I'm really passionate about teaching. I love to learn, and then I love to tell people what I've learned. And so those two things together can seem threatening sometimes to people. Even my wife is like, hey, you don't have to teach me right now. It's like, I got to back up a little bit. But I think those things have created this relationship where that person expects something of me, and it creates pyrotechnics. And you're like, we got to figure out how to change this, because I'm not my dad. Mm-hmm. And also I'm responsible for behaving in a certain way. We just have to reshift this dynamic. Everything that we've talked about today keeps revolving around money and showing the importance of money in the world we live in. So some closing remarks from you about thinking of finance as now the other shoe. This is what we've been talking about for a while. Our thoughts and our beliefs about money right now influence what we're going to be doing, like we said earlier in this conversation, for the next 3 to 5 years. What are some of the common ones that you see And then maybe both take a turn at that and tell us how to be able to connect with you after this conversation.
So my thing that I'm going to say is it wasn't until I came into this season of my life where I recognized that money equals family. And if I think about going back to even at any, you know, from 15 to 25 to 35 and up, money has always equaled family. Why? Because it was a tool that was going to help my family in some way, shape, or form. And so my responsibility to understand my money impacted how my family operated. So a lot of times, if you look at the health of your family, are people talking to one another? Are people agreeing? Is there love? That could also be a direct reflection to what's happening financially. And so when I recognized that correlation, it was my opportunity to empower myself with my finances so that I could take it to the next level. And I feel like the more conscious we are of our finances, the better our family performs mentally, spiritually, you know, physically, everything. And then also understanding that we have the power to share this information with what we know, and just making it a huge responsibility to ourselves. So I don't necessarily know if that really answers your question, but what I take from the overall conversation that we've had is mindset, the power of mindset, how that can shape your relationship with money. How, you know, many of us are business owners, and one of the main reasons why we decided to be business owners is because we want freedom of time. We don't want our income to hit a certain ceiling, and we want to be able to do the things that we love to do when we want to do that, do it. And usually that revolves around having time with our family. So when we think about everything that we're doing, I just caution everyone to go back to thinking about why are you doing what you're doing? And is this something that you think that you can sustain for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years? And how does money play a role in that?
Yeah. Jody, could you ask the question again? Cause I got wrapped up in what Carmen was saying.
Yeah, you bet. So talk to the mindset of a person right now who's maybe never thought about money deeply like you two have. What are some of the other shoes that they're going to be holding on to that are going to keep them from having success? And then let us know how to find you.
Okay. So what we've been taught about money up until this point came from the people around us. It came from our family, it came from our friends, it came from our pastors, it came from anybody that spent significant amount of time in our lives. Our understanding of money came from those individuals. Now, for me, when I reflected on those individuals in my life, I didn't want to have the life, financial life that they had. To Carmen's point, some of those individuals have been stressed as a result of lack of money in their lives. So if I can change my mindset around those different ideas, then naturally I'm going to change the result of the money in my life, because money is a thought. Everything around us is a thought. So if we choose to think differently and understand that money is a mindset, then we won't necessarily think of ourselves having to chase money, because the more we chase it, the more it's going to one away from us. But as we change our ideas and thinking around it, we're going to attract it into our lives, regardless of what we choose to do or how we choose to go about attracting it. Like, for example, you may be doing it through teaching, through your books. We do it through teaching people about life insurance. There's somebody on YouTube that's selling dirt to make money, and they're making a lot of it. Yeah. So the idea of money is the fact that it's a thought. And we learn those thoughts and ideas around the people that we surrounded ourselves with in the past. And if we want to attract them in our lives, we have to surround ourselves with different people in our present and in the future. And if people want to connect with us, please do so on our YouTube channel, Wealth Nation, or youtube.com/ Wealth Nation, or our website, wealthnation.io.
Becoming a household name won't happen overnight, but with your help, can happen for me or for anyone you know who's on this journey. If you liked what you heard today, would you consider sharing this podcast with someone you know would love it too? Word of mouth is the single biggest difference maker for a dreamer's outcome. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.